All right, Colossians 1. Let's go ahead and read here. We'll start in verse 21. Verse 21. Colossians 1, 21. All right, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. All right, we're going to stop there and kind of jump into things here tonight. And we are down here in verse 24. We were talking about the hope of the gospel last Thursday night and kind of making some distinction there between the gospel being preached to every creature and the hope of the gospel being preached to every creature and what that hope of the gospel is. Of course, that's Jesus Christ, and not only Jesus Christ, but it's Christ and his return. That is the hope. That's what we should keep on the forefront of our mind, is that he's coming back. And if we want that victory in Jesus, as we're going through our daily routines and doesn't always feel like we have the victory, we know we do because of the promise of God, the promise of his word, the promise of his return. And, you know, it's at those times when things are upside down and backwards that we look up to the sky or look out the window as we're driving and say, even so, come Lord Jesus, right? Why? Because he's our hope. And he is the hope of the gospel. And one day, not only we're going to be changed, but the curse is going to be lifted off of this earth. And it's going to be a whole entirely different thing. The blessing of God is going to be... Listen, the only world we've known is living in a sin-cursed flesh and a sin-cursed earth. Amen. That's all we've ever known. But one day, when God lifts all that, I mean, this is going to be a place like we think it's beautiful now. Wait until the curse is lifted, and we see the handiwork of God. and so, what as the song says, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And so, thank God for that. Paul says this gospel and this preaching of the gospel, he says, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, he kind of comes back to verse 24. He says, who now, he says, at this time now, rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. We've studied that out, his body. It's the church. It's you and I that are saved and born again. Anyone that's saved and born again makes up his body. And Paul says this is the church. And Paul, in verse 24, he talks about this suffering. He says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. This idea of suffering, Paul says really that this suffering that he does, Paul realizes that he was called of God to suffer. And, well, this is not a fun Bible lesson, right? This idea of suffering, I mean, who wants to do that? You don't have to raise your hand. I don't. I don't want to suffer. I'm a wimp. I don't like pain. I don't like... Thank you. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. One person to say, you're not alone, preacher. Yeah. You know, these bodybuilders that say, no pain, no gain. I like no pain, no pain. That's what I like. I don't like inconvenience. I don't like things being difficult. I don't like the idea of suffering in order to learn something. I don't like the idea of suffering in general. But I do know this much, is if I'm going to suffer in this life, I'd rather suffer for Christ than suffer for the other stuff of this world. You realize a lot of people go through a lot of things to attain corruptible crowns. I'm running Bible references here, right, as I speak. They do a lot of things to say, I want this so bad in my life that I'm willing to do all these other things and give up all these other things and to suffer and go through immense amounts of things in this life in order to obtain things that don't really mean much. And in this life, if we have to suffer, I'd rather suffer for the Lord than suffer for other things. But Paul talks about this suffering, and as Paul writes this, these are part of the prison epistles. Paul is in prison because of his preaching and stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in prison, and he's writing these, and he says in verse 24, who now, talking about himself, I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings. You know, we go through Bible lessons and in Philippians. We're in Philippians, and it talks about rejoicing. I mean, it's the theme of the book of Philippians is joy and rejoicing. And we're supposed to rejoice and in the Lord and have joy in the Lord. And sometimes we struggle with that when everything's good. Yeah. Let alone rejoicing over sufferings. You know, that's a maturity in Christ. That's a maturity in Christ to be able to do that. But Paul says that he does it. And if Paul can do it, the Lord extends the same grace to Paul as he extends to you and I. So if we're going through some sufferings, we can also rejoice in the Lord. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. You know, I do say it a little bit tongue-in-cheek and joking around, but I don't like the idea of having to suffer. I don't like it. I don't even like doing the Bible study. I don't even like running some verses. I'm like, Lord, no, I'm not asking for it. I'm just teaching about it. So these are just Bible verses. Here, Lord, I'm not. This is not a challenge. This is, but the reality is God does call some to suffer, and we're not going to run all the verses tonight, but if you're trying to live godly in Christ Jesus, you are going to suffer something. You are going to suffer something. It might not be as bad as others suffer, but there will be something in your life. Acts chapter number 9, in verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he, this is Ananias, or Ananias, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I don't know if Ananias directly delivered this message unto Paul. You know, that's the second half of the message that he might have been like, I'm going to let the Lord deliver that to Paul. Right now, I'm just going to encourage him in the Lord that you're going to, a chosen vessel, that you're going to bear the Lord's name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. Well, what else did he say? And there's another suffer. What was that? I didn't understand that last part. The Lord will make it clear. The Lord will show you, brother. Don't worry about it, right? But Paul knows. Paul understands. Paul learned that there were things. It says, how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Look in Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Now, I'm not one that wakes up in the morning and goes, oh no, how am I going to have to suffer today for the Lord? All right, I'm not a masochist in that way where I'm thinking the Lord is just constant. I'm just waiting for the Lord to bring something down on me. I'm not that type. But I understand it. I have been around long enough to know that the Lord has suffering for seemingly all of his saints. It seems like there is no get out of jail free card. I believe firmly, and everybody is different in different ways, but I believe firmly that there are some things that we can only learn about the Lord through suffering. And it is not a doomsday type of thing. It is not, oh no, what's this going to mean? I don't know what it means. I don't know when and if it'll come. Like I said, I'm not one to stand and say, everyone's going to suffer and it's going to be terrible. You know, that's a real morale booster. You know, those are ones that just get people saying, man, this is awesome. And I think sometimes as Christians, we can make too much of suffering. We can hang on to it like a badge of honor when the Lord, when we find out the Lord wants us to rejoice. And people know generally those around us, closest to us, they know when we're suffering. They know when we're going through something. And what the Lord gives in that time of suffering is joy. He offers it to us, at least. Yeah. He offers the peace and the comfort and the joy so that in that time of suffering, we have the power of the Lord. We can have the joy of the Lord in those moments. And so I don't believe that Christians have to wear suffering as a badge of honor or, boy, I've really been going through it. I think the Lord has things for us individually. I think sometimes sometimes it's wise to bear it alone with the Lord. And I think the Lord desires that sometimes. We don't always have to make it known. We don't. Galatians 6, that's not where we're turning, but Galatians 6 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and we should, but verse 5 says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Sometimes there's a burden, and we bear it alone. And other times there are those around us to help us bear those burdens, but the Lord is faithful. The Lord's faithful. Galatians chapter 5, in verse number 11, Paul says, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Paul said, hey, you know what would help? You know what would ease up a lot on this suffering? Is if I stopped preaching Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I just went back to preaching circumcision, if I just went back to persecuting Christians for the law, to keep them under the law, then I wouldn't face half of what I face. If I just shut my mouth, then I wouldn't be suffering like I'm suffering. Amen. And the Lord said, no, Paul, that's not what I've called you to do. But he realizes what it is. He knows what it's for. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy 1, verse number 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. We like verse 7. I mean, he hasn't given us the spirit of fear, thank God for that, but power and love and of a sound mind. And boy, we stop there at 7 and go, yes, that's what I'm talking about. Those are the promises of God that I'm looking to hold on to and to grasp. And I don't want to have a spirit of fear. And we want the power of God in our lives and the power of love of God in our lives. And of course, I always ask for a sound mind. We want these things.
Amen.
And Paul says, in light of this, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me as prisoner, but be thou a partaker of what? Of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. The Bible says he's not giving us a spirit of fear. We're not to wake up and be afraid every day. Oh no, what's the Lord going to bring in our lives? What's going to happen if I keep serving the Lord? And I was just reading through those verses, and it talks about the trial of our faith, what's going to happen? We're not supposed to be fearful. If we're fearful, we'll run away from the Lord, and we'll run away from His Word, and we'll run away from serving Him, because we'll think somehow if we run away from the Lord, then we won't suffer anything for the Lord. There's suffering in this life.
Yeah.
And I'd rather suffer with Him beside me than me trying to run from Him. I'm trying to run and hide and act like I'm going to get away from something. No, I'd rather suffer with the Lord than take the chastisement of the Lord for Him to draw me back and then Him say, okay, we're going back to the lesson. Duh. we're not going to escape it. We're not going to escape some things in this life. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation worketh patience. There's that hope. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only in that, but we glory in tribulations also. Why? Because knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and you look up that patience in the Bible, you look it up in a dictionary, and you run those references. See, the American mind now, we get one word, and we assign one definition to it, and then we're all done. Right? And so the only thing we think when we read the Bible and it's with patience, that just means that we're, you know, when we're waiting, we're not angry. Right? I mean, that's patience. I have patience. I'm not extremely irritated when I have to wait longer than I want to wait. That's the definition we've given to patience, and that's it. Unless it's, you know, being a doctor's patient, and then we need patience to be a doctor's patient, right? I mean, but that's the only thing we have. But a better Bible definition for that is endurance. Patience is endurance. And so tribulation, what does it do? It builds endurance in our lives. It allows us to say, oh, okay, I saw how the Lord was there for me. So when the next hurdle comes and I clip my heel on it before I'm fully over the hurdle and I do a couple tumbles, I'm like, okay, I can get up. I can do this. We can go forward with this. Why? Because tribulation worketh patience. It's endurance. Nobody wants to go through tribulation. It's a natural thing. Nobody wants to do it. But it worketh patience. James chapter 1. I know what I'm saying tonight. I know the audience in which I'm speaking. I know we've prayed for the health, and we've prayed for loved ones, and I understand. You know, when you open up the Bible and teach on patience and you teach on suffering, you know, as a preacher, as someone who stands here and comes across the Word of God, like the audience is not lost on us. But the truth of God's word is it's an encouragement. It should be an encouragement. James chapter 1 and verse number 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Who's this? This is James. Knowing this, it's not Peter, it's a different guy. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It has a work. Patience has a work. Temptations and tribulations and trials, the trying of your faith, worketh that patience. And you know what it's like. I mean, if the just live by faith, and without faith it's impossible to please Him, then how is your faith exercised? Your faith isn't exercised by you always being able to do things that you know you can do, by life always being just the best, by everything always going smoothly. That's not how anything is tried. That's not how anything is improved. The only way our faith is exercised is when we have to use it. When we have to use our faith to say, Lord, I'm relying on you now. My trust and faith is in you and you alone for this thing. And Lord, I'm putting it in you. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes our faith is this big. And then what happens? You know the term exercise? It's, you know, same thing. I don't want to exercise. I don't want tribulation, right? Sometimes there's, and then it gets a little bit stronger. When our faith goes through something, when there's some resistance to that faith. I'm not here to talk about bodily exercise, but it does profit a little. Yeah. Right? And anyone that's ever tried to do something they haven't done before, some of you probably have had the surgery. My father had the full hip replacement a bit ago. I don't know when that was. I forget. He had the hip replacement. And so they let him out the same day and said, can you get in a car and out of a car? Can you take a step or two and up a couple steps and back down so you can get into your own house? Perfect. See you later. My dad was like, this is amazing. You know, he's still high as a kite from the drugs, you know. He goes home, he's like walking around with the thing, you know, walking around the kitchen like, this is amazing, you know. 2 days later, how's it going, Dad? He's like, not good. And then a week later, how's it going? I thought it'd be better than this, you know. Well, what's happening? You know, the physical therapist comes and she's like, okay, can you do this thing? He's like, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. And she's like, okay, now this is where we're not going to be so friendly, you know. This is where you're going to start getting mad at me, you know. All right, let's try this thing. Okay, go ahead and hold your leg up. Nope, you know. Shearing pain, the whole thing. Right, why? Because now it's exercising something. It is saying, okay, now I need to strengthen these muscles and I need to do all of this. What is it for? It's the trying of your faith worketh patience. It worketh patience. It brings about endurance. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. You guys understand and know as soon as you physically do something that you don't normally do, or you're kind of out of the scope, or it could be anything. You wake up the next day, or all of a sudden you realize there's muscles that are aching that you didn't even know existed. And you're like, I didn't even know I had those muscles, right? Because you didn't use them. And then when you have to use them, you know, I remember, I don't know when it was, you know, age has a way of just being there all of a sudden, if you know what I mean. And I don't know when it was. It was a few years ago, and I was out playing like tag or touch football or something like that. And you know, you're playing around, you're running around, you're trying to catch the ball, and you fall on the ground, rolling around, and hop back up, and yeah, it's fine, you know. And I remember like the next day being like, I think I was. like jumped into a gang. I think that's what happened. Like my initiation was to be beat to a pulp, and now I'm in that group. And I remember thinking, like, when did this happen? Like, you know, you used to just do stuff, and the next day, you know, now if I'm up on a chair like this and I just go to like hop down, I'm like, I got to go from here to here, and I can do it. All right, don't look at me like that. I can do it. But I jump down and I go, I didn't land, that didn't feel like it used to, you know. It used to feel a little more spry and athletic, and now it's like, whoa, that was almost an ankle. That'd have put me down for like 3 weeks if I'd have just twisted it right there. It's just not the same. But the more we exercise and work those things, we understand, you know, it's profitable for us. Yeah. It's profitable. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 27, Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. Again, prison epistle. He's writing to the church at Philippi, and he's saying, don't be terrified by your adversaries. Look what it says in verse 28. Which is to them an evident token of perdition. You know what the world sees? The world sees you claiming to be a Christian. The world says that you serve the Lord and you live for him and you try to not do this and you try to live this way and you try to go to church here and you try to do these things. And then something happens and what the world does? The world goes, ah. See? God must be mad at them. Like Job's friends. Remember Job's friends? They come and sit with them and they're quiet for a while and then they start saying, well, Job, what'd you do? You brought this on yourself, Job. You know, something happened. We haven't seen the righteous go through something like this. And so the Bible says to the adversaries, to them it's an evident token of your perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. That salvation, one, of you're his child because he cares for you. And if you have children or had children or are going to have children, what do you do if you love them? You discipline them. Right, for their own good. For their own good, you do it. Well, I just don't ever discipline them. I don't ever do that. You teach them, don't touch that. It's hot. Why? So they don't burn themselves, right? If you have to go up and slap the hand a few times, you have to do that so they won't hurt themselves. And, you know, as they grow up, they just hurt themselves differently. Right? Take some wrong paths, you're going to hurt yourself. And so you do that differently. But he says, no, this is basically a token of your salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. You know what Paul says in chapter 3, same book, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. He talks about all these things in chapter 3 that he's done in the flesh and how he's a Hebrew of the Hebrews and all this kind of stuff. And he goes down through here and he says in verse number 8 at the end, he says, I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. He says, what is all this accolades and what is all this stuff compared to Christ? In verse 10, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul says this suffering is a fellowship. It's a fellowship of his sufferings. I can get the flu and get a tummy ache, and all of a sudden I'm super spiritual. You know, I'm like, oh, Lord, my belly hurts. You know, I'm walking so close to you now, Lord. You know, you're trying to think of every sin you've ever committed. Maybe if I just, I forgot one, Lord, please take my tummy ache away. But in suffering, you know what you find? If you can, well, you're going to do one of two things in suffering. You're either going to get mad at God or you're going to draw close to the Lord. Those are the two things that's going to happen. And if you can draw close to the Lord in those times, it's fellowship. It's fellowship, the fellowship of his sufferings. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse number 17, 2 Corinthians 4, 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What does? Our afflictions, our sufferings, the things we go through in this life. And if we turn to the Lord and we have that rejoicing, we have that joy, the things that we go through in this life, the things that happen to us, the Lord allows to happen to us, the things we go through, the things of this life, when we go through them with the Lord, guess what those afflictions are doing? They're working for us. Can't be. Yeah, they are. They're working for us. They're working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's what's happening. It's working for us. You try to do something healthy, you know, you try to eat healthy, and all of a sudden you look down and you're looking, you know, if you try to eat healthy, at some point you're going to look down and you're going to be like eating rabbit food, you know. It's nothing that even tastes good on its own here on my plate. I'm just eating stuff that rabbits should be eating, right? And you look at it and you, and you just make it through it, right? And well, what's it for? You start eating healthier, you start trying to get some more exercise, whatever that means for whoever, and all of a sudden you just, it's grueling, it's an affliction, right? So you're like, seriously, eating salad's an affliction? Kind of. It depends on the day. I mean, really. Would you rather have a salad or like a steak? A salad or almost anything? Right? That's why we put like bacon on our salad. We're like, ooh, something good amongst the rabbit food. And I like salad. Calm down. Just, you're weird, all right? Amen. And this comes from a guy that my wife looks at me sometimes and goes, I would never in a million years ever thought that you would be eating a salad every day for lunch. So, okay. Calm. About 6 days a week, I eat a salad. Okay. My wife makes it for me because she knows if I had to make it, I'd be like, no. Granola bar it'll be, right? But we see it as an affliction. We see it as something that we have to do in this life for a goal, for a purpose. And then once we start seeing the results, we say, oh, salad's not that bad. Walking isn't that bad. Lifting weights isn't that bad. Doing this thing, why? Because we can see a benefit. And that's what Paul is saying. Look what he says in verse 18. For while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's what we have trouble looking at. I mean, you try to... Maybe you try to do some things healthier for your life and you start to see some benefits of it or feel some benefits of it and you say, okay, I'm going to keep doing that. Why? Because it's the things that are seen. But bodily exercise profiteth little. The spiritual things, the things that are unseen is what matters. And the light affliction on this side, it worketh for us. What does it work? It works a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse number 1. Paul says, the elders... Paul, it's not right. It's Peter. Peter read it. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Look in verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. These afflictions, these things that we go through, we're supposed to resist the devil, and we're supposed to live for Christ, and we're supposed to do all these things. These same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And he says, I was a witness of Christ's sufferings and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed.
Yeah. Amen.
We don't always see the rewards on this side. And if we're doing it right, our faith is strengthened, and God asks us to exercise our faith, and we act on that faith because it was strengthened by the Lord, and we accomplish what God wants us to accomplish, and we don't even realize it's happening if we're doing it right, because we're giving God the glory and we're trying to move forward for Christ, and God says, I'm going to put this thing on you, and it's going to try your faith, and we're going to exercise your faith, and we're going to do this other thing. And you go through and you say, man, thank God. Why? Because if we're doing it right, sometimes with the big ones, we know that we're going through something. But sometimes if we're doing it right, and we just say, boy, the Lord's just giving me some victory. Oh, victory in Jesus. Right? I didn't pick the song tonight. My son picked the song. And he's not smart enough to know that that was the right song to pick. Right? The Lord did that. Why? Because we have victory in Jesus. And we have victory in these things, and we can go through some things, and other people can say, wow, they're really going through it. And sometimes, some people just say, well, I don't know why, because God's given them victory, and they're exercising their faith, and they're trying to give God the glory. And what happens? God strengthens us, and we gain by the afflictions. And these afflictions, when you're going through things, sometimes it feels like you're the only one. But you're not the only one. I mean, it's a pretty big world. And there are a lot of others going through things, similar things. There's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. Well, I don't want to quit because I'm going through this stuff. There's someone else. It's the Elijah, right? Hiding under the tree. And he's discouraged. And he says, just take my life, Lord. Just take me. He's like, I'm here and this is me alone. The Lord says, well, first of all, you're talking to me. I'm right here with you. And second of all, I have 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. I have 7,000 others. What do you think they're doing? How do you think they're doing? Same thing. It's okay. Look in chapter 1, verse 5. Chapter 1, verse 5. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The Lord gives us a trial of our faith. He then gives us the strength to get through that trial. Through all of it, through every part of it. Amen. He gives you that strength to get you through that trial. And then he's waiting for the time to be able to reward his children for making it through it. I've put it in different words than that, but I've said that before. I can't even get that. Okay, so he saved me and I didn't do anything for that. And then he's trying to conform me unto his son for my benefit and really for the benefit of everyone around me. Amen. And he has to try my faith sometimes because I'm not going to try it. I'm not going to put myself in manifold temptations. No thanks. I'll take the easy way. And he says, no, there's some things we need to try your faith. We need to have this be profitable. This is eternal. And you can't see it now because you're looking at the temporal. But just look towards me. Keep your eyes on me. And in this thing, I'll be here the whole time. And then at the end, I'll reward you for it. You can't help but think that at some point with a perfect mind in heaven, I'm going to say, you do realize that I had nothing to do with this. You know when your kids get old enough to figure out, you know, when kids are really little, you set up everything, you buy everything, you put them in the right spot, you put the brush in their hand, you dip it in some paint, you brush some stuff on there, and then they're like, look what I did, right, when they're really little. But then they start getting old enough to understand that, like, they don't know how to do it, you're really the one doing it. And you're like, you did such a good job, and they're like, Dad, you did it, right? That's going to be me at the judgment seat. Yeah. Dad, you did it. I didn't do it, but that's the kind of God he is. Why? Because he's thinking of eternity. He's thinking of his children. 2 Corinthians 12, we'll finish with this one. 2 Corinthians 12, you know this verse, but we're looking at the next verse. I don't know if you ever do that, it's probably the preacher in me, but someone goes to turn somewhere and I'm like, I know where you're going. I try to tell my wife sometimes, he's going this verse right here. How'd you know that? I'm a genius. Don't forget. Five minutes earlier, I was being a complete moron, you know. 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 5. Of such an one will I glory, yet in myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there is given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, you know that verse, verse 9, but look in verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. I have this underlined in my Bible. I didn't like it, but I underlined it. In necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. See what he says? Infirmities, reproaches, persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake, necessities for Christ's sake. You know what Paul had learned? Paul had said, he's like, I'm telling you the story. He's like, but I'm glorying. I'm not going to be a fool. I'm going to glory in these things that I've been through. Why? Because they've made the Lord strong in my life. That's what the world sees when we can rejoice and have victory. That's what the neighbor sees. That's what our lost family members see, is when tribulations and trials come, and that God's there with us, and he's working something eternal in our lives. And the world's initial reaction, I thought you were a Christian. I thought God took care of you. I thought, you know, all these things that you've always said. And they see these things in your life. What God does is he says, you know what? You know, one of the things that we're going to do here, one of the things that are going to help is, instead of you saying, I'm going to handle this in my own strength, our strength gets broken down so that his strength gets elevated. Amen. And you know what happens in sufferings is people around us say, that's not them.
Yep.
That's something other than them.
Yeah.
And then you know what the world says? What's that? What is this that you have that gives you this strength when you're not strong? That gives you this joy when there is no outside visible evidence to have joy? What gives you this ability to go through this thing and not act like everybody else I know, but act different than everybody else I know? You know what that is? That is the opportunity to say, let me tell you about my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about the one that gives. And they might say whatever they say in the moment, but they don't forget.
Yep. Right.
They don't forget that little thing that they went through that one time, and they were a disaster. And yet there's some person that claims to be a Christian, and they went through this other thing, and they had joy, and they had peace, and they had a strength that I haven't seen before. Even amongst Christians, to see somebody go through something and have the power of God on their lives, to have some rejoicing and strength. I'm not saying that means there's never any tears. I'm not saying that doesn't mean there's never any struggles. I'm not saying that doesn't mean that, oh, you're having a moment there, so you must not be relying on the strength of the Lord. No, we're not talking about that. And if you've been through anything, you know what I mean. It isn't that there isn't sorrow. It isn't that there isn't heartache. It's not that there isn't difficulties and times of sadness and times of, Lord, help me. Yeah. And it's a trying of our faith. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
But when other Christians can see people go through things and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to keep following the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep walk. I might be slower now. But I'm going to keep walking after him.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just let the Lord have some victories in my life.
Mm-hmm.
What? So that other people see that and go, well, I can do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Lord has been very good to me. Very good to me. And you know what happens to me when I see Christians go through real things? I say, wow. If God can help them, then I can go through this little thing, this teeny thing. I can do that. It's not the end of the world. You know how our mind gets sometimes. Oh, here's this thing. It's the end of the world. And then we see other people and like, no, never mind. I spoke as a fool, Lord. and what it we see, we can see the victory of the Lord. And that's what he says. And he says, now, who now rejoice, Colossians 1:24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Because we didn't get to that part. Paul says, I'm doing this for the church. I'm going through all this for you. Paul says, all this has been brought upon me so that I can be of something for you. That's what it was. And he says, for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, Paul says. For his body's sake. Well, who's his body? It's the church. It's you. That's what Paul says in Colossians. Paul says, I know. We just read it. Listen, all these revelations that were given to me, and he starts talking about these mysteries and these things that was given to him. He's made a minister of these things. He says, all this. He says, God's given me all this, and I need some things to keep me humble, Paul says. That's what he's saying in 2 Corinthians. He's saying, I have all these things. I've had all these mysteries and revelations given to me. If I didn't have this thorn in the flesh, I'd be useless for God because he'd be so puffed up. The Lord said, but I got something to bring me down. And why? Because these revelations are for you. He was called unto the Gentiles, called to preach the gospel. He was made a minister of all those things. And Paul understood it. I wouldn't choose the sufferings that a lot of Christians go through. I would never want that to be on people, but man, God knows. God knows, and He's faithful in what He does. He's faithful in what He brings us through. He's faithful in those things, and God has a purpose, and He has a plan, and it's an eternal plan. When we're looking at the temporal plan, He's looking at the eternal plan. And thank God we can have some joy and rejoicing through it all. All right, let's go ahead and take some prayer requests tonight. Prepare yourself for that.